good to be in a competitive game early in the year. I think it's good to go through some of these situations and see how our guys respond. And it seems like the vibe of the team, you know, after the game when we got home, they understand the place we're in, they understand reality, and they know we're not there yet either.
Well, here on 91.1 WHFC, this is a brand new show here you're listening to, 6 to 6:30. My name is Evan John. This is The Water Cooler on 91.1, brand new sports talk show that they're letting me do here on the station. I'm super, super excited. I've been looking forward to something like this for quite some time, since I guess, started here at the station. They gave me two shows off the bat when I got here. I didn't want to push the docket at all too quick or ask for things here at the station. But about a year into it, we are here now, ready for some sports talk for you. We are here till, like I said, 6:30. I'll go through all things HCC sports. We'll get into the National Football League, Major League Baseball, in some cases college football, college hoops, all kinds of stuff. Have a half hour. Can't get to everything, but to start us off here, you heard that quote. That is Coach Demetrius Jelenjoy here at HCC. He is the men's head basketball coach at Hartford. They are two games into the season so far. They are 1-1 on the season. One at home, lost on the road the other night. And a lot of stuff going on with this team. This is supposed to be, when the season started, this is a 30-game season that the men's basketball team will play. And Coach Jelenjoy said before the season, this is probably a 20-win team, 20-10 squad that HCC hosts that region tournament this year. So that is huge for them. They're thinking probably 20-10, but that is before you lose probably one of, if not your best player in Chandler Johnson. And if not your best player, I could say probably with confidence, your best shooter on the court, your team leader. You're just, you know, your guy in the locker room, knows what he's doing, can talk to these guys, a guy for this team to rally around. And he suffered a very unfortunate injury on the road in a preseason scrimmage. He tore his ACL, MCL, and meniscus, so he is out for the season. He will undergo surgery here relatively soon. I'm not sure when that'll happen, but I talk to him pretty often, I'd say. Pretty often I talk to Chandler. Very nice guy. He's, of course, bummed about the injury, but at the same time, you know, still up, you know, keeping the spirits up on this team, still trying to be a contributor to this Hartford squad. And losing him is certainly a big deal for Coach Jelenjoy, for this Hartford squad. And you also lose Ty Williams, another guy that plays on this team pretty often, a guy that was supposed to be a contributor, supposed to do a lot of things for this team, and he still could, but he is also dealing with a knee injury. He is awaiting results of a scan, MRI. Talking to Coach Jelenjoy, or just Meech as they call him, Coach Meech, he's hopeful for a January return. So hopefully after New Year's, you'll get Ty Williams back. But the injury bug has certainly plagued this Hartford team. They also were dealing with illness across pretty much the whole squad this past week. It affected practice, and it certainly carried over into the game. That soundbite you heard was from an interview that I did yesterday it's a reaction to their game on Tuesday at Penn State York, which they lost. But they played well. They came out really well. Coach Meech said he loved what he saw from the team early on, but the guys being sick, the illness, it caught up to him late in the second half. And, you know, when he came home, they said, like you heard, this squad understands where they are. They know they're not there yet. They're not maybe, I don't want to say the team that they're not the team they thought they were. They still can be. But this 20-win squad right now, they can still change it, turn it around, you know, work on things in practice. But maybe they're a 17-win team right now, maybe a 16-win team at the moment. And later or earlier on in the interview, actually, Jelenjoy was telling me that, you know, maybe they need to kind of learn again who they are as a team, as, you know, meshing together as individuals and on the court, and just, you know, making that all work to build a team identity, pretty much, more or less. And that's something they can certainly do. They're certainly capable of doing. And I have all the confidence in the world in Hartford's staff, coaching staff, Coach Jalen Joy. All of them are more than capable to turn this team around, and not turn them around, but to build on what they already have. And Coach Meech was saying, you know, this team, they need to slow it down a little bit. They're playing very fast, and they need to understand they're going to play half-court basketball defensively and offensively. They need to, on offense, move that ball around a little bit, you know, swing it around the arc multiple times. Make this team run around. Make them tired. Force them to play zone and not so much man-to-man. Wear this team down, because that's what's happening on the defensive side for Hartford. They're being just worn down offensively. They get tired, and they are forced into playing a zone. And not that that's always a bad thing, but Hartford just understanding they need to slow the game down a little bit and not push the pace all the time. Their win at home a couple weeks ago was certainly a win, but it was kind of a opening night sloppy win type of deal. It was just, you know, loose balls a lot, balls on the ground. The defense for Hartford played really well, though. I believe they turned over those guys 17 times, I believe so. And Coach Jalen Joy told me before the game, he said, look, we're throwing out a defensive starting five. Scorers off the bench, we want to finish strong at the end of the halves. And that's exactly what they did. And Meech was happy after the game. It's his game plan worked, and they brought home the win. But then, like I said, the illness hit. They were limited in practice. They took that on the road as guys, you know, not playing 100%, and it caught up to them. It got to them, and they lost that game 1-1. But they come home, and they're going to, you know, or excuse me, they go down to South Carolina. Now they leave tomorrow to play two in the Carolinas down there, and then they'll come home and play a game again at home. But we'll see what this trip is for the men's team. I don't know much about those teams that are down there that they're going to play. Meech seems to think they'll be good squads. So come home 2-2, we'll reset, and we'll, you know, get back in the lab, as they say. But I don't know. This team looks good. I'm not overly concerned about this team at all. I think they still will. Be a playoff team. They'll play playoff games here at home at APG FCU Arena. And I don't know, the thing about Hartford, and this isn't a knock on any other teams here at all, but a lot, and it's not supposed to be like a snarky, overconfident remark either, but a lot of Hartford teams are just so much better than the teams that they play in their conference. They kind of more or less coast through their regular season sometimes. And maybe that's the wrong word, but there's not any, for some of the teams, there's not many, if at all, if any games that they look on the calendar and they circle that game and say, hey, this is a tough one. We're gonna have to fight for this one. Not a lot of teams do that here. And, you know, when you get to the playoffs, you play a team that is just as good as you, if not better, that sometimes shuts the door on the season for Hartford because they haven't played those teams. They haven't done that throughout the course of the season. They haven't been truly tested. But you can't say that about the Hartford men's basketball team. They are, all the games you can circle are like, this is a tough game. That is night in, night out for this Hartford men's team. And I absolutely love it, because when you get to the playoffs, if Hartford fights through and they grab a spot to play in this region tournament here at Hartford, those teams that they're going to match up against, the journeys that those other teams went on, the games that they circled, the teams they circled on the calendar to play against, Hartford has played just as good, if not better, opponents than their other opponents in this tournament have. And I love that. Hartford will be prepared, seasoned, put through the ringer, ready for that playoff tournament, which is why I have a huge amount of confidence in that team, as long as they can figure this out and get through the injuries, get through the change in potentially change in style, and understand that they're not a fantastic shooting team. Like Coach Jalen Joy said, not as soon as you get a little bit of daylight, you don't have to drive to the rim. You don't have to put up a shot. You can step back, you know, keep an eye on that shot clock, but work this defense, wear them down like they wear you down. And I think if they can get that straight and start working on that and start doing that, I think this is that 20-win team you're talking about before the season began. So that's what I got there, men's basketball. Women's basketball is having its own storyline here, I guess I will say. They went through a coaching change literally 10 days, a week and a half, before their first preseason tournament down in South Carolina. And the good news about that is Coach Patty Medina here, she is the assistant or associate athletic director, and she actually has 16 years coaching experience herself. She knows what she's doing. She knows these girls. She's a very, you know, my office door is always open kind of person. A lot of times you see many athletes in her office just because they want to be. They want to talk to her. She's very connected with the student athlete body, as far as I can tell. And I think she's really been able to guide them well through this unexpected transition. They are 0-3 so far. They've got a lot of, you know, stuff going on there. The team started with 11 players. They're down to 8 right now, with more potentially on the way later, as far as, you know, logistic stuff goes. But I think I don't expect a new coaching hire this year through this season. I think this team is Coach Medina's team. I think the team understands that. I think she understands that. I don't see a coaching change coming before the end of the season, because you're not going to find a better coach out there right now than Coach Medina is with her 16-year experience, especially not now at this stage in the game. All the good coaches you want to hire, you want to be part of your program, they're hired. They have their job. They're doing their thing. This needs to be locked down in, you know, over the summer, in August. This needs to be a thing that they work on. Right now, let Coach Medina do her thing. There's a lot of stuff going on with the changes and the, you know, fluctuation of roster and everything. Just, I think you just stick with someone these girls know, they're comfortable with, and someone that they know believes in them as a squad. Now, they've had their struggles on the court. They lost their first game by about 30, I think, but then they really tightened it up. They scored 42 in their first game, 54 points in their second game, and 58 points in their most recent game. Their first loss was by 30. Their next loss was by 8, a drastic margin, and their most recent loss by 11. Now, a lot of teams have more people than them, and Coach Medina was talking to me. She said, you know, even refs have come up to them and been like, hey, if you guys had one more person, you know, after the game, if you guys had one more person on that bench, one more person to you know, come off that bench to be a fresh set of legs, fresh body, this might be a much different team. This might be a much different record at 0-3. Look, I think this team can really do good things. Coach Medina has emphasized the little victories. Don't focus on that win-loss column. They're trying to build a culture here, first and foremost. It's just started fresh with a week before the season. And they did win the little battles in their most recent loss. They won every category except from the free throw line, the foul shots they lost in. But this is a very small, it's a small, fast, run-and-gun style team. Not a lot of tall girls on this team, and they won the rebound game the other night, a category that they had no business winning at Penn State York. And they were able to win the rebound game. That's huge for this team. That's a confidence builder. That's Coach Medina's philosophy and, you know, focusing on little things coming to life. That's important in that locker room. Important for them to see. Important for them to nail down and focus on. They haven't even played at home yet. They're 0-3. They haven't played at home yet. They have two more games on the road before they even come home, which they have to be looking forward to. And I think they might come home. You know, they could come home 2-3, I think. I think they could. If not 1-4, fine. You have a win you're coming home with. But that first game, the home opener, is November 21st against Southern Maryland here. And look, while this team is they show flashes, they could be great. Coach Medina, of course, is confident they will win, you know, have a chance to win every game when they go out. Given all the circumstances, all the things they've had to overcome, I would be surprised if this is a team that is a 500 team or better. I think this year is a focus on culture, focus on building a program kind of thing. and, you know, set up a good atmosphere for whoever the next women's basketball coach is, who, like I said, I think you should hire in the summer. I don't expect a new coach to be hired for midseason here. I don't think that's a good idea, but I don't know. We'll see. I find it very unlikely, but women's basketball, men's basketball in action right now. Volleyball just ended a little bit ago, a week ago now. I'll have to get a season recap on that, talk to the coach, talk to some players. Same thing with men's and women's soccer. Both seasons over, unfortunately, prior to when they wanted them to be, losing in tournaments. But getting reactions from players, coaches there, that'll be on the show eventually. But for right now, we'll move off Hartford, as we are just over halfway through the show, and we'll talk some NFL here. NFL news, the Philadelphia Eagles are the only undefeated team left. They're 8-0, but are they in danger come January? They haven't played a close game yet. That's what the playoffs is. Close games, you got to play from behind, win close. The Eagles haven't had to do that yet. They haven't trailed in the second half yet this season. Like I said, they haven't played a very close game. And, you know, with all things considered, they'll probably be the number one seed in the NFC. Home field advantage hasn't helped the Titans this last year. It didn't help the Ravens in 2019. They went 14-2, got stunned by Tennessee. I was at the game. The bye could hurt them. If you're a hot team playing well, you don't want to bye. You want to play. But the NFC is a very weak conference. I think if they're going to get beat, they'll get beat by San Francisco. The 49ers are a good team, well-rounded. Some people, have their doubts on the quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. Facts are he wins. Maybe it's the people around him. Maybe it's the system. But when Jimmy Garoppolo plays, he wins football games. So am I worried about the Eagles? A little bit. I need to see them get tested. I need to see them with a comeback win or a win where they had to escape a little bit, but they really had to work for it. And I haven't seen that yet. And looking at their schedule, I don't know if I'm going to get it. It might be the Cowboys game. It might be the Cowboys game on Christmas Eve. But other than that, it's not a strong schedule. I don't see anything where they are like, oh my goodness, this is a tough game. Now, will they have one that you don't expect? Probably. You probably won't see an undefeated team. They're probably going to lose a game somewhere along the line. And I think that's good for a team like this. But now the Packers situation is very interesting. The Packers are reporting that wide receiver, or there's reports coming out of the Packers organization that wide receivers are frustrated with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is making them the scapegoats. Young receivers, new receivers, that Rodgers refuses to mentor, refuses to help, really. He wants to win his games. Aaron Rodgers he's Aaron Rodgers. He didn't show up to training camp, which, he's getting older. I would always show up to training camp regardless, but if it was the same group, the same guys, if you don't want to be there every day, fine, whatever. You're older, you've earned this, whatever. But this is a new group of young wide receivers that don't know Aaron Rodgers. He got a new quarterback coach in the offseason. Just new people all around. And Rodgers didn't show up. Receivers that needed his mentorship, they need leadership, and Rodgers isn't giving it to them. And the Packers look bad. They look really bad. When Rodgers is looking for, just being himself, all the glory and just, I want to win. I've always won. That's what I'll do. We'll figure it out. And you just wing it. This is what happens. I think the Packers are on the verge of going completely off the rails. And I think it might have already happened or already begun to happen. I think the wheels might be coming loose. I think this could get real out of hand real quick in Green Bay. I don't think they're a playoff team. I don't think they're good enough to be. I think their division is better. It's not the Packers that you know. It's not the Packers you've always known. But the story of the week here has got to be the Indianapolis Colts. They are something else right now. The Indianapolis Colts have fired their offensive coordinator, benched Matt Ryan, and and fired their head coach, Frank Reich. Now, I've talked to some Colts fans that say Frank Reich needed to go. He had to be gone. Let me just give you something real quick here. Frank Reich, as the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, went 40-33-1. Starting in 2018, his quarterback was Andrew Luck. He's retired. 2019, split time with Jacoby Brissett and Brian Hoyer. Jacoby Brissett was supposed to be a backup. He's starting now for the Browns. They got in a pinch with Deshaun Watson. And Brian Hoyer is the third string quarterback in New England. Fast forward to 2020. 39-year-old Philip Rivers is the starting quarterback. He retired. 2021, Carson Wentz. He is now he didn't have a good year. That was a bad version of Carson Wentz. And now he's supposed to be starting in D.C. with the Commanders. He's hurt right now. In 2022, Matt Ryan, a very old, washed up, just struggling Matt Ryan, and a very inexperienced Sam Ehlinger. Lack of experience. Matt Ryan was, you know, not really supposed to be here in the first place, but they needed a quarterback. They needed to figure it out. And they bring him in the offseason. So these quarterbacks now, you have all of them are backups, retired, or weren't supposed to be starters. This is since 2018. And you're telling me Frank Reich is the problem? He's above 500 with these quarterbacks that really weren't supposed to do anything. He's just a quarterback carousel, which is just bad from the jump, historically bad. And he pulled off winning records, playoff teams. I don't get the move. I don't get that move. But they hired, you know, look, before I say that, the Carolina Panthers are the only other team that's fired their coach this year. If I'm the Carolina Panthers, I'm calling Frank Reich yesterday. Are you kidding me? You need a quarterback and Frank Reich, a historically winning coach, is out there all day. All day. That's not even a decision. I don't really know who else is going to be out there that's going to challenge Frank Reich as your leading candidate if you're really concerned about your franchise. But they hire Jeff Saturday, of all people, as interim head coach. He's a Colts Ring of Honor center. Seems like a good guy, but he's never coached. He's never coached. This is unheard of. He's an ESPN analyst since, it's been a while. He's never coached in the NFL or college level. He's coached some high school football. It wasn't even really successful at that. And you fire your offensive coordinator. And oh yeah, by the way, your new offensive coordinator, Parks Frazier, has never called plays. Never. He's never called plays in his life. This is crazy. Parks Frazier was previously the Colts pass game specialist and assistant quarterbacks coach. This is a story we will talk about forever. This Colts team, mind you, was supposed to win their division. They were supposed to win this thing, the AFC South. And in 10 weeks, we've gone from a team favored to win their division to the most shameless tank and one of the craziest sports stories in the history of the NFL. This is wild. This is crazy. This is unheard of. So the Colts are they're in shambles right now. You have a fiasco going on upstairs ownership-wise, I'll put it that way. Crazy stuff there. The decisions are bad. Who wants this job right now? You have an inexperienced quarterback in Sam Ehlinger. Your O-line stinks, which is hurting your star running back, Jonathan Taylor, and your run game in general. That's going to force an inexperienced quarterback to throw the football, and he's not going to have a lot of time in the pocket to do so because your O-line stinks. You're, like I said, fiasco upstairs, and like I said, your offensive coordinator has never called plays in his life. Who wants this job? This is a terrible job right now. This is an awful job right now. I don't know. It's wild to me. Now, before this half hour is absolutely flown by on me, but I have to make my locks of the week here. I'm going to do this every week. I'm going to keep track of the record. I'm going to pick 5 games, pick the winners. I'll come back next week, keep track of the win-loss record so you can make fun of me, probably. But first game, give me the Raiders versus the Colts at home. Like I said, this is just no questions asked here. Flip it. Head coach Josh McDaniels of the Raiders needs to win this game. If he doesn't, he's probably fired with how bad the Raiders have been and what they're supposed to be. And then I'm taking Sunday Night Football, the 49ers versus the Chargers at home. The Chargers defense is not good. They hired a defensive coach in Brandon Staley, and they've been bad back-to-back years. No Mike Williams, no Joey Bosa. Keenan Allen did not practice Wednesday. Probably won't play. Justin Herbert's the guy, but he needs help. Niners getting back Elijah Moore. Pair that with CMC. Debo Samuel coming back. No chance. I'll take the Niners on Sunday Night Football. Vikings over the Bills. The Bills have been very reliant on Josh Allen. I think they get exposed for that this year. This week. Kirk Cousins' 1 o'clock game on Sunday. I'll take that all day. And Josh Allen might not even play. He's kind of hurt. So we'll see what happens there. Chiefs versus the Jags at home. Chiefs are just better. It's going to be cold. Florida team in the Jags. I like the Chiefs all day with this one. Eagles at Commanders. Again, just better. Just a better team. There's no way they're not better, if you ask me. I think it is a division game, so they've seen them before. But I'll tell you that this is just, I don't know. It's not going to be good. I think Eagles by a million here. So that's what I got for you on the show. So thank you guys so much. That was a very fast debut episode. But see you next week. See us tomorrow, Night Owls, my own show. Next week, this is The Water Cooler.